Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Wednesday, the 19th of April, 2023. It is hump day. It is crossover Wednesday. That means only one thing. The wonderful, the talented, the effervescent Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio is with us this morning. Mr. Kreitlow, how the heck are you?
I'm looking at the bottom of my coffee cup and there is no effervescence there whatsoever, but I'll take another sip and do what I can for you, bud.
Appreciate that. Always good to have you on the show. If you miss Pat Kreitlow, and why the heck would you? But every morning, 6 until 8 across Wisconsin and across the world on the Civic Media Radio Network. But if you missed it by chance, you missed a great show because he had a great subject this morning, which was paying taxes. But here's the way I was getting ready. This is what came across my radio this morning.
The pimps, the prostitutes, they're going to be paying taxes. The pimps, the prostitutes, they're going to be paying taxes.
Well, you can't go wrong. You cannot go wrong in the morning starting the show with pimps, prostitutes, and paying taxes. Mr. Kreitlow, explain.
Somebody turns on their radio, and the first thing they hear is this Yahoo congressman from Georgia talking, justifying a national sales tax of 23%. Mm-hmm. And his point being that, well, there's a whole underground economy out there, where people that pay cash for everything and therefore they don't have to pay taxes. And so this gets them as to becoming taxpaying members of society. And one has to ask, hey, buddy, I think that's his real name. Hey, buddy, is that really what's going to solve our problems here? Is by forcing the lowest wage workers out there to pay more in sales taxes and to force every middle class family to pay 23% more for a sales tax compared to, I don't know, the $2 trillion tax cut you passed, 5 years ago for billionaires? Might that be a way to look at it? No. Let's make people in the lowest incomes pay more, and let's give them, just some ugly, names as well so that we don't feel any sympathy for what we're about to do.
It's a great way to frame it, and I appreciate the cut because it's a little bit lighthearted. It makes you laugh a little bit, but the fact is, we're reminded, pardon me, again and again, that this is not a TV show. This is not a movie. Okay, starting by Matthew McConaughey or Joe Pesci, and this guy is like the foil. This is a real dude, a real elected official, who is dog whistling in the South. Still, the insinuation, of course, that the pimps, the prostitutes, are the black folk. And so these people, we're going to stick it to them. And it's just this continued thing, Pat. And I was hot yesterday, and I'm still a little hot today, because you've got an 84-year-old white dude in Kansas City where a 16-year-old black kid doing the right thing, an A-plus scholar, plays a bass clarinet in his orchestra, and he goes and picks up his brother and sister or siblings. He happens to go to the wrong house, and this 84-year-old white dude tries to blow him away with a gun, hits him twice, once in the head. What the hell is wrong with America, Pat?
Well, because it's a TV show, again, for them, that they've seen that guns are the thing that solve everything. And again, in no other country, if you go to the wrong house, you don't get shot. If you go up the wrong driveway, as happened to a 20-year-old woman, white woman recently, you don't get shot. If you go to the wrong car, as a group of cheerleaders in Texas did recently, you don't get shot. You get shot in only one country. Maybe it's the one with all the guns, with all the idiots saying, well, if we only had more guns, that would make us safer. If that was the case, we'd already be a safe country. We are not. Get there faster, people. It's the guns.
And meanwhile, in Madison, we have a couple of Yahoo Republican legislators in Madison that say, and I know you've talked about this on your show, we've talked about it on ours, that say, you know what we could really do to help out is put more guns in our schools in the hands of teachers.
Dumbest bill of the year. And there will be many, including a flat tax proposal, but dumbest bill of the year, I don't think anybody's going to beat them. They're the clubhouse leader for that honor. Put more loaded guns in schools, something the Iowa legislature also voted on this week. They actually voted to pass that bill to have it done. That was the theme of our first hour today, is at least we're not Iowa. which this week their legislature voted to expand child labor, you know, into more dangerous occupations and longer hours. They voted to reduce food benefits to the working poor. The Republicans even voted to interfere in the Democrats' plans for the 2024 Iowa caucuses. So there's got to be something in the corn liquor in Iowa, because the Republicans there are just drunk on power. And it is a harbinger of what could have happened here had, you know, Tim Michaels won the governorship.
It's an ongoing trend, because not just in Iowa putting the kids to work, but you got Sarah Huckabuck Sanders down there in Arkansas, mm-hmm. and she's putting the kids to work too, because we can't find people to work. So here's an idea. Let's put 14-year-olds in meat plants. That'll solve everything.
Yeah, and when they do, what little bit they do talk about expanding the immigrant workforce, which we so badly need here, but instead it's about letting kids who are the children of undocumented immigrants work in these meatpacking plants and such. It's just so disgusting and solves nothing.
We should give them guns too for self-defense.
Right.
There you go. Yeah.
Here's something that will solve your problem. Well, it did not solve mine. I stayed up until the 10th inning last night. I've got to go to bed. And then, of course, the next inning, the 11th, the Brewers win it last night. We're going down to Milwaukee together on Friday to watch the Brew Crew, Pat.
Yeah, to take on the Boston Red Sox, which Luke Mather spelled S-O-C-K-S in the memo to us.
I wanted
to bring him to the game, but after that, I'm not so sure.
Hey, I'm dyslexic, so my spelling is absolutely horrible. Pat Kreitlow, every morning, 6 until 8. Thank you so much, my friend. Appreciate you.
You betcha.
Talk to you later. That's Pat Kreitlow. Stay tuned. Trigvy Olson next on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. A version of Spider-Man? I'm not sure what that was.
No, this is Toxic by Britney Spears.
Oh, for God's sake.
Because I heard you guys were going to be talking about Toxic Tom Tiffany.
Well, yes, thank you very much. I appreciate that, Aaron Summers, our producer engineer. Britney Spears, Toxic. All right, well, that was Toxic. Yes, we will be talking this morning about Toxic Tom Tiffany up north and Tammy Baldwin. Our guest, as per usual, on a Wednesday morning, is the wonderful and talented Trigvy Olson. He is a senior advisor to the Lincoln Project nationwide, a Wisconsin native, worked in a lot of Republican campaigns, was Republican like myself for several years until he too said, wait a minute, democracy matters more than party, and he left the party, as did I, and now has helped spread democracy across the country and around the world as well. Trigvy, how the heck are you this morning?
I am good. I wasn't quite sure what that was either, but I guess
no, I get it.
I never was the biggest Britney Spears fan. I wonder if she's a lounge act in Vegas too. I think she was.
Was actually. She really?
Yeah.
Did she do lounge acts in Vegas? I mean, she's
you know, you're helping me with my political comedy routine, because I have been using that Scott Walker is the Katy Perry of Republican politics, and then people look at me like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, well, you know, he's currently a Vegas lounge act.
True. Well, we were talking a little bit before he came on the air this morning. A little disappointing. Let's get right to the kind of one of the big stories of the week, or at least of yesterday. This big Dominion lawsuit. And again, in case people have been sleeping under a rock, Dominion is the company that owned a bunch of voting machines. And after the 2020 election, Trump just arbitrarily chose them, because I guess it was in front of him at the time, and said, well, the Dominion machines were rigged. They can be changed after people vote. All proven 100% untrue, non-factual. And so Dominion lost a bunch of money, because what happened was Fox picked up on the Trump comments, and even though they knew it was untrue, and that's been uncovered with leaked discovery documents between them and texts and whatnot between Sean and Hannity and Tucker Carlson and all the rest, they knew it was untrue, but yet they continued to report it as being true. And so Dominion went to court and said, wait a minute, that's defamation, that's malice, and so they're suing them for $1.5 billion. It was all set to go to trial. And on Monday, they paused it in order to try to come to a settlement. They did not. So it went into the trial yesterday. And just before the jury was to come out, Rupert Murdoch of Fox said, wait a minute here. This might be a little bit of embarrassing. How many zeros do you want?
Yeah, they got $767 million because Fox lied. And now Fox, it doesn't look like, had to issue a public apology. So what you're going to have here is they're going to try and say, oh, well, we never admitted wrongdoing. But, you know, $750 million pretty much demonstrates the wrongdoing. I will tell you, Todd, though, here's the thing. I was talking to my mother, who's my favorite focus group of one. Republican who sometimes haven't fully recognized what the party has become. I said to her, well, what do you think of what happened with Fox and Dominion? She's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Why does she have no idea what they're talking about? Because she watches Fox News only for her news. Wow. And so I suspect that and it's part of the reason why I really do wish they'd force those people onto the stand. I get why Dominion settled. I mean, I think if somebody offered me $750 million, I'd probably settle too for, you know, people saying untrue things. You know, I think once again, just as they did in lying to their viewers, Fox and Rupert made a business decision that will let them off the hook.
And on the other side, to your point, Dominion, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I'm not an attorney. I worked for a small law firm for a while. But just you and I also both know working in politics forever. It really does also come down more often than not to the dollar signs and to the money. And so their attorneys, the Dominion attorneys, are doing the have a quote unquote fiduciary responsibility to the client and say, okay, if we settle for this figure, it might be this if we go to trial. Is it in the ballpark? Do you really want to go through that? Do you want to pay the attorney fees? There are all these behind the scenes things that are happening at a lawyer level. And so it really came down to what is the best outcome for Dominion? That's what, I mean, sure, they may care about democracy, but it came down to how much money they could get.
Correct. Now, that said, I mean, again, you know, Fox had a war fund of $4 billion. They still have the smart tech suit. You know, there is another suit that's out there.
Right.
And now the pathway has been shown. And so I think on some level, you know, they have issues. I will tell you the other thing is when it was 2 days after the election, and somebody who's a longtime friend of mine, who had been at my I have a picture of the person at my fifth birthday party.
That's great.
And they are active in Republican politics back home in Wisconsin, and were really upset about the election and had started in on me about Lincoln Project and, you know, just
blaming you guys for Protasewicz's win.
No. This is after the
2020
presidential blaming us for Joe Biden.
Got it.
It was funny because the person started in about Sidney Powell, and it's like, do you know Sidney Powell? And I said, I do know Sidney Powell. I met with her once. She's loony. I like, not a credible person. And I just got torn apart.
Really?
And I'm literally thinking to myself, you are somebody I've known my entire life. You know who I am. Our families are friends. And I'm telling you, this is somebody that I've actually met with. And you're like, you somehow believe you know better. And so every time after Protasewicz won, I got, are you proud of yourself yet? I am. And I just, I was feeling a little like, I don't want to deal with this.
Yeah.
And sent her back the text that said, I'm like, how you feeling about Sidney Powell? Still feel like this?
But I think that's a great point, Trigvi, because Luke Mathers, co-host of Dueling Tangents at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Civic Media, except in Wausau, where Chad Holmes does the Chad Holmes show. But Trigvi, I'm getting my people mixed up. Luke Mathers said, and he's been talking about this on his show, where we get our news and information matters. And the fact that all of us, including myself, I try to watch a variety of things. I don't watch Fox. I mean, on occasionally election night, I'll peer in because, you know, they're polling people and their election desk has some legitimacy. But beyond that, they really don't. And so, but I'll peer, you know, I'll watch CNN, I'll watch a little bit of MSNBC. My Twitter account is filled with everything from CBS to ABC to AP, you know, go right down the list. And so I try to curate a lot of different points of view. But to your point, there are still folks out there that only watch Fox News.
Oh, a ton of them. I think I've mentioned it before, and we're getting close. Our non-political entity at the Lincoln Project just got done. Just got done doing a massive survey for them.
Yeah,
and I'm going through it. And so Fox News viewers, 54% of the highly intolerant Republicans, so the politically extremist right, I shouldn't say Republicans, but like the Trumpist right, the MAGA right, 54% of them, that is their primary source of news. And now the other thing about them, though, is it's a closed information loop, because 60% of those people say that all or the vast majority of their friends share their political views. And I'm telling you, what happens here is people see stuff on Fox, and even if they're people who say, oh, I watch more than just Fox, they're watching primarily Fox, and then they go down to their local Lutheran church and they sit in Fellowship Hall after the service, and they talk about what's going on in the world, and they then walk away thinking, well, everybody thinks like I do, and it's basically this closed information loop of Fox News.
Yeah, I agree with you, and it's not healthy, right? It's just,
it's terribly unhealthy.
You have to think for yourselves, and I'm not sure how you break out of that, because like you say, I know people, I'm not close friends, but I mean, there are people that I know that I grew up with that are certainly still right of me, that still belong to the quote unquote Republican Party, that, you know, quite frankly, voted for Trump. I'm not going to go and take a vacation with those folks, but I mean, I'll be friendly to them, and I want to just, I guess, just the curiosity journalist side of me, I want to hear what they're thinking, because I want to try to understand what motivates them. What is it? Fear? Is it just, you know, this closed loop? I'm curious by it.
So, you know, I have some expertise in political extremism from the work around the world. So the motivator is primarily fear, right? And fear manifests itself as distress, and when you have people in any democracy or any society that have fear, if you have politicians in a democracy who come along and start offering cognitively simplistic answers, so like the really easy answer, we're going to build the wall, and people are like, yeah, well, I'm worried about immigration, like that will do it, right? So that becomes very important to them, and if you question it with facts, who's going to pay for the wall? They'll, you know, those kinds of politicians will say, well, Mexico will pay for the wall, right? Right. And what happens is, you know, there's a psychological phenomenon called the overconfidence effect. Sort of all children are above average. And mine are brilliant, by the way.
I know they are.
but you know, the overconfidence effect is something where those simplistic answers, my kids are brilliant, becomes, you know, a truth, right, to that distress. And so what happens is that they become vested in those simplistic answers, even if they're not based on reality or they're based on contrived grievance, which is what Fox is selling to them. Mm-hmm. And their friends, because they all watch Fox, are amplifying. And when I go to when you come to me, or like, you know, so if I'm the one who's buying into these cognitively simplistic answers, and you come to me and you start saying, you know, Trigvi, your theory that the election was stolen is not met by these facts, I think to myself, well, I like Todd. You know, I need to enlighten him,
right,
with what is addressing my distress, because he has some of these distresses. And when I start pushing back with things and you reject that, from my perspective, it's like, well, then I get mad at Todd. And I think, and that intolerance is where extremism resides. And we all see it. We, you know, if you have friends who are on the far left or on the far right, who've reached the point of political extremism, it becomes really hard to have a conversation with them about it or present them with facts.
It becomes personal, right? Because I like you. You like me. Then you start taking it personally, like this guy or this gal, right. Whatever. And personalities and emotion get into it.
Because you're attacking something that is providing.
Just like that. Hang on. Britney Spears came on and Trigby froze. It couldn't have been any more perfect. Back with more with Trigby on the other side of the break, as well as weather. This is the Todd Allbowl Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This reputation for calling all the shots. I got your invitation, so show me what you got.
Welcome back to the Todd Allbowl Show. It is now 8:33 on the time and temperature sign on a Wednesday hump day. It is the 19th of April, 2023. Our guest this hour, as per usual, on a Wednesday, the one and only senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, Trigby Olson. But first, we take a quick break and go to our senior advisor on weather, is our chief meteorologist here, the wonderful and talented Kara Foster. Kara, I've cooled down a little bit from yesterday. Not quite as hot on the air. And I went outside, got a nice walk in yesterday, so I'm feeling better.
Good. I'm glad. I'm definitely glad. This is what the cool weather can do for us a little bit. If we can think of a silver lining, it's that, right?
Absolutely. We got Trigby on the line here, so we got to go right to weather. Give us the forecast for Amory Richland Center in Wausau, if you'd be so very kind.
For sure. Well, we got a few rainy days on tap. Now, it is going to be pretty consistent today and tomorrow. Showers and thunderstorms today. We will see most of it throughout the earlier half of the day. And then as we head into the afternoon, it'll start to trickle out. We're reaching a high of 41 in Amory. 39, we'll see a dash of snow possible today in Wausau. And as we head into the Richland Center, we're still in the 50s with a high of 52. As we head into tonight, some showers and thunderstorms will pick right back up. We're dipping down to 38 in Amory, 34 in Wausau. And as we head into Richland Center, they're dipping down to only about 43. So still kind of on the warmer side. Easterly winds are going to be pretty breezy as well today and tonight, gusting up to 30. Now, Thursday is going to be more of the same. It's going to be just kind of showers, highs in the upper 40s throughout the state, lower 50s still. More showers into Thursday evening. We might have a little bit of a break throughout some areas throughout Thursday evening going into Friday morning. But then Friday is when we do see that chance for some rain and eventually some snow showers throughout the state. Of course, mainly going to be the central and northern portions of the state that will see that snow. As far as accumulation, still on the fence about it. I mean, I really don't know what to expect from the system. It does seem like it'll stay very up north. I know northern Minnesota, like way up by like Duluth and Lake Superior, will get a lot. As far down as it goes, I'm not sure how much we'll be getting in the northern portions of the state, but I would say, you know, probably a couple inches could be expected. It's mainly going to be slushy since it's going to stay a little bit warmer. The weekend, still have a chance for some scattered showers throughout the state, but it will be much, much lighter. And sunshine will start to peek through as we head into Saturday, and then eventually Sunday will save us, but we're still going to be only in the lower 40s. Then next week we'll come through and we'll see some sunshine, upper 40s, lower 50s, and hopefully not this system again. But we'll have to wait and see. I'm meteorologist Kara Foster.
Thank you, Kara. I did a little walking on the isthmus yesterday along Lake Mendota, and tulips up already here in Madison. So a little bit of snow.
I've been hearing about a lot of tulips.
So spring is upon us. Thank you, Kara. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Good.
All right. Thank you. You're welcome. Kara Foster from Weatherology, our fine meteorologist. Again, our guest this hour, Trigby Olson, who is the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, all things political. Trigby, before the break there, talking a little bit about this vacuum that people get into of only getting their news from one source. And in particular, talking about Fox News in light of the lawsuit with the voting machines right now and being settled out of court. But you were talking before the break, saying how people kind of get into the, you call this, first of all, what is cognitive dissonance for those of us who don't know? Because I want to make it clear, we're not talking about telling people they're cognitively disabled because they watch Fox.
No.
You know, it's a term. So if it could, first of all, define cognitive dissonance and then kind of give us maybe a solution of how we kind of break through in these discussions of people.
Yeah, so, you know, cognitive dissonance is a term that gets used in psychology and therapy. But what it really is you know, in this context, it's where people have things, values in terms of how they live their life that don't conform and are unaligned to the political discourse or the political beliefs that they're holding. And, you know, I speak obviously to a lot of groups, both the right and the left. And it's funny because sometimes when I speak to groups on the left, particularly on the coast, you know, they'll get going about Trump and MAGA people that they don't like. And I'm like, you know, a lot of them are my buddies who my best friends in life who I drink beer with and back home. Right. And, you know, I say to them, they are the people you want as your neighbors, right? Like you have a death in the family. They're bringing you, you know, they're bringing you brats or they're bringing you casseroles or whatever, right?
Exactly. Yep.
Lutefisk dinner if it's Christmas time. And at least if you're my family,
yes.
But, you know, the cognitive dissidence, and this is what I would do. We've all had this experience in the Trump era where we've had people, you know, and I'm still a traditional conservative, but I'm bothered by what I see. And certainly what Fox did is wrong. If you have somebody who is just touting the Fox line today that you care about, send them, find the story about settling with Dominion or the headline from Drudge, because Drudge is something that's a go-to news source for them. And don't send it to them and say, see, I told you so. They've been lying to you. Send it to them and say, hey, have you seen this? What's this about?
Right.
Even if you know what it's about.
Yeah.
And get them, at a minimum, you're going to put it on their radar screen from a semi-credible source or a credible source to them. And you're going to potentially draw them into a conversation. And you're never going to shame somebody out of their political beliefs. You can only make them look back at with shame at what they were exposing. But you can help lead them by asking questions and listening. Because here's the mistake that people make. When you have somebody who's kind of succumbs to this, whether it's on the right or the left, political extremism and the intolerance it brings, you have to ask them questions and lead them to understanding it themselves, because it's not about you.
Right.
It's about them and helping them find where the life they live and the things that they value are not what they're espousing politically.
One of the coolest examples that I've seen of, I think what you're talking about here, is in Richland Center, my hometown, and this whole issue of the University of Wisconsin Center Richland, the Richland campus, and Platteville, UW Platteville Richland, we still call it UW Richland, where this issue of closing down the campus by President Jay Rothman, and of course Howard Markline, the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, represents Richland Center, Republican. Tony Kurtz on the Joint Finance Committee represents Richland Center in the Assembly, Republican. And when you drive through Richland Center, you see the Save Our Campus yard signs in both yards that have had Trump signs since 2016, as well as Hillary and Biden signs. And it's an issue that crosses over. And then in the town halls, when wasn't even really a town hall, but when Kurtz and Markline showed up and they sat there and listened for 2 hours but refused to answer any questions, now you know what I'm hearing from people in Richland Center? Some people that have voted for Howard ever since he replaced my former boss, Dale Schultz, they're saying, well, you know, I was with Howard, but after this, I'll never vote for him again. Because they're actually seeing for themselves an issue they care about that these people don't care about us. And I think it you're right. It takes that awakening moment. They have to come to it themselves.
That is cognitive dissonance, right? Like now it's no longer about some college or school that's a bastion of liberalism in a faraway place. It's a place that has made a difference for their families and that they know is valuable to the community. And that's, they look at that and they say, well, that's not what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
Right? Now you've got to help ask the questions to lead them to the additional steps of, well, maybe I'm not getting the truth or maybe that's not who I am when they're talking about that faraway campus over at UW Green Bay or Eau Claire or Madison or wherever, because it's not real. And, you know, education is a place where that happens, all, I think, and they don't, if it's about teachers' unions and all the things that are part of the political talking points, it's a loser for the for education. But if it's about local schools that are the hub of the community, that everybody, you know, or the rallying points in a place like Richland Center or my hometown of River Falls, like, that's a different deal. And so that's what it has to be made about. And when you see those opportunities like you have in Richland Center, you have to ask those questions.
Let's move on, if we could, to the 2024 elections and Tammy Baldwin, U.S. Senator from U.S. Senator from Wisconsin, Tammy Baldwin, Democratic senator, announced that she will be seeking her third term next year. Running for re-election was expected and a popular figure, but so far, no Republicans officially on the ballot. Apparently, Congressman Stiles from down in the 1st District along the Illinois border has ruled out a run. You have Mike Gallagher over in Green Bay, who is now the chairman of this China committee in the majority of the House. He's saying he's real not really excited about it. And what I'm hearing, Trig V, in Wisconsin, maybe you're hearing from your contacts here, that there's a lot of people like WMC, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, and the business community that's not really into the social stuff. They're really concerned about our friend Brian Schimming and Mark Jefferson, the leadership of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, because they're saying, do you boys know how to win an election yet? You lost with Tim Michaels. You lost with Dan Kelly. And looking at 2024, they're like, we really hope you don't run this playbook again of absolutist abortion issues and anti-democracy. And they're a little bit, the money dudes and gals are a little nervous about our friends, the Shim Sham and Mark Jefferson run the party there, and about the only dude who is willing to step up right now is Toxic Tom Tiffany, the congressman from the 7th up north, and maybe former Sheriff Looney Bin Dave Clark from down in that's their candidate slate so far to run against Tammy Baldwin.
That, honestly, Dave Clark running against Tom Tiffany would be a primary that's just lit on crazy.
Right.
That would be exciting to see on some level. Sad for the great state of Wisconsin, yeah. But it would be lit. In fairness to Brian and Jefferson, on some level, of course, you're never the idiot that they think you are when you lose, and you're never as smart as they think you are when you win. But they have not been doing a lot of winning, and some, you know, if you wanted to be petulant at Schimming, you'd say, well, he lost to Virgil Roberts for like 15 years in a row or 16. So
Virgil Roberts.
And people at home can Google Virgil Roberts to see if you can find out who he is. That might be just between Todd and I, because we're the only guys old enough to know even who Virgil Roberts is outside of Mike Hipsch, which is another one you might have to Google.
Yeah, Mike Hipsch is a whole other story.
Yeah, he is. But, you know, Tom Tiffany, it says everything that Gallagher doesn't want to take the race, right? It says a lot about Tammy Baldwin and the understanding of, you know, that she is somebody who, with what we talk about, Bannon line voters, those Republicans who Steve Bannon said, you know, if the Lincoln Project can carve off 4% of Republicans, they can tip the scales and beat Donald Trump. Tammy Baldwin is, you know, her Bannon line is 8, 9, 10, 12% of Wisconsin voters, and she's proven it. They're the same voters in places across areas like the 3rd District and Richland Center, all the way up to my hometown in River Falls, and across the state over to Green Bay on 29, that powered Evers winning. And quite frankly, they got Ron Johnson reelected. Yeah. Because they voted Evers Johnson. Yeah. And those Evers Johnson voters are going to be the ones who decide the presidential election. They're going to decide the Senate race. And I do not think that Tom Tiffany will appeal very well to those voters.
No, I had the great displeasure of getting to know him when he was a state senator and the whole mining, mining issue of over in Mellon. And wow, the guy is just, he's Looney Tunes. He's because he's very Trumponian, and he buys into conspiracy theories. You present him facts and he said, but can you prove that? Yes, the sky is blue. Can you prove that? I mean, he's just he's not mean. He's just kind of just this annoying dude, right?
He's not a, you know, he loves to talk about Ronald Reagan and stuff like that. He's not a Ronald Reagan conservative. He's voted against aid to Ukraine every single time it's come up. He's voted for big government spending. Like he is the perfect Trumpist sort of era congressman from up north.
I think it's
sad because, quite frankly, that district has had some real powerhouses in terms
Dave Obey
of getting things done.
on the other side. Obey. I mean, hey, he brought bacon home. You can't deny that. back with more intrigue after this. We'll talk about putting fingers Ron DeSantis and maybe a little Packers and Brewers as well. Stay with us. This is the Todd Allbowles Show in Civic Media. Show it is now 8:50 on the time and temperature sign on the Civic Media Radio Network into the 80s now. There's Trigby and I's era somewhere in there. A little hairsprayed hair back we both had.
It would be better when Kara Foster is taking you to the 80s, though. I tell you, you know what I loved about Kara Foster today?
What?
Like, is when she tried to push the snow off on northern Minnesota and said to Luke, like, International Falls is northern Minnesota. And it was nice that she pushed the snow over to those people. They deserve it.
Right? Exactly.
Do we have listeners in Minnesota? I hope not.
Not many.
I hope we have every listener we can get.
Just across the Mississippi River on our Amory station. But we're now on in Hayward, Trigvi, and at low power, and hopefully another month, we will cover the entire North Woods, from Duluth to Superior to Bayfield and Hayward, and along the entire North Woods will be on.
And as Todd likes to say, worldwide on the Civic Media app.
Yes. And we will be coming sometime this late spring or early summer to Eau Claire and La Crosse as well. So we'll have all kinds of time to talk about Mike Hipsch on Alaska and La Crosse. We're on there. So
you know what? You and I, Krylo, should go. I'll come back for it on my own nickel. We could go from Eau Claire to Hayward to Hurley to hell.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
No, I'm the whole way.
I'm not joking about this. We're trying to put together basically a summer tour and just take the show on the road to all these places. Because to your point, and this is absolutely to your point, is that part of our mission, just not with our show, but at Civic Media, is not just to preach to people all the time, but try to listen and understand people. And so I want to go and I want to sit, basically like, you know, a campaign. I want to go sit in a diner in Hayward and do the show from there for 3 hours and just have people come on and tell us what they're thinking. I don't care if they disagree with me or not, as long as they're respectful about it. But I think that'd be a good conversation for people to hear is what our neighbors are thinking and why.
Yeah, I totally. I mean, I think there's nothing better than getting out across the state. It is a fantastic thing to go and do.
Yeah. So speaking of across states, on the other end of the country, down south, but there is a reason that I think this is pertinent to what happens here in Wisconsin. You and I have talked about it before: authoritarianism and versions thereof. No better example than down in Florida this week or last weekend, where Ron DeSantis and the Trumpster had a little bit of an ad war. Now, Ron DeSantis, I won't go into the whole thing right now, basically he tried to do an end run around the Walt Disney Company. And Walt Disney, obviously a brilliant guy, when he bought the swampland in Central Florida, he set it up so basically, look, I'm going to invest here, but I want to legally be able to run this place, building permits, infrastructure, all this. So DeSantis tried to come in and do an end run around with legislation to take it over. The Disney lawyers, they did their own thing, and they basically changed the rules. And now DeSantis is saying he's going to go back to the legislature to take over a private business. And so the Trump people picked up on this whole thing with Ron DeSantis eating a pudding cup with his three fingers. I don't know if you've heard this, Trigvi, but the more people I talk to in politics, apparently DeSantis's staff is reticent to have him go and eat any dinner in public because this is not a one-off, apparently. He eats with his hands all the time. He's just like an ogre. That's what I've heard. And so the Trump people put together this brilliant ad called, you know, pudding with the guy, mm-hmm. and he'll using this, you know, that he wants to take away Social Security and Medicare, which is true. And then the DeSantis people put together not so good of an ad, again attacking Trump on the same thing, which is true. So what do you make? I mean, A, there's just the kind of the fun factor for me. I think it's funny. But the authoritarian issue to me is, I think, telling that in order, again, to win a primary in 2024, whether you're president or U.S. Senate here in Wisconsin, these candidates have to move further and further to the right and basically endorse some form of Trumpism, authoritarianism to get through a Republican primary.
Well, when outrage becomes the norm, then you, as a politics, you constantly have to seek the next and the more outrageous, right? Mm-hmm. So it becomes a cyclical race to the bottom. I thought, you know, Ron DeSantis is looking to distract to the fact that he is signing a 6-week abortion ban with no exceptions in Florida, which is completely out of step with the people of Florida. It's something that he has to do if he's going to get through the Republican primary, because he'll get killed in Iowa if he doesn't do that, and in the primaries. Mm. But it is a general election loser, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so what does he do? He's going to fly back to Florida and start inspecting rides at Disney. Now, here's the thing I will say, and in the interest of being open about it, full disclosure, I had a conversation with some people at Disney about what they were facing in terms of illiberalism at one point. Mm. I will tell you, I think Disney, like a lot of companies in the United States today, has not been as effective as they should be at telling their full story. Mm-hmm. Disney is part of what makes America great. In fact, mm-hmm. it's a central piece of what makes America great. People from all around the world want to bring their kids to Disney World in Florida, mm-hmm. right? That's essence of, like, American greatness. The Disney Corp and what has made Disney great, going back to Walt Disney, who, granted, was a kind of a odd duck. But Disney, what has made Disney great is that they have been diverse, like America. Mm-hmm. They were one of the first companies to have, you know, African-Americans and Asian animators and all the rest. They get up every day and think, how do we make the most magical place on earth and the most magical movies? And they have not told their story very well. They should be saying to Ron DeSantis, you talk about what makes Florida great, what makes America great. We're a big part of that. They have not done that, mm-hmm. but they're starting to do that. Mm-hmm. And DeSantis is demonstrating himself. I think I said this last week. You know, he is the Scott Walker of 2022 or 2024.
Do you attend Florida?
Which is a guy who everybody, you know, he's Katy Perry. I'm telling you, he had a one hit on his album, and then he's demonstrating that he's hot and cold and is currently a conservative lounge act over at Young Americans for Freedom. That is Scott Walker. He's a lounge act. doing his one hit. Indoctrination.
Is the opening act the Badger Boy State Singers? I'm not sure.
I'm sure he does an epic show at Ripon every year.
Right in front of the old white schoolhouse there.
I hadn't even thought about, oh my God.
Saluting with the American flag coming down behind him, you know.
Honest to God, if Scott Walker ever decides to run again, I'm doing a viral video.
Right? Exactly.
It's, of course, an unauthorized show since he didn't actually graduate.
Right. Well, that's when he goes to Union Hall at Marquette. It's unauthorized.
Oh, Scotty. Yeah, so I'm not sure. I just think DeSantis is just a lightweight. I think you've been saying this for months. Trump is going to destroy him in the debates. It won't even be close.
Kill him.
Yeah. Kill him. Trigvy, always great to see you. Our time has run out. Again, we'll see you next week. Thank you, my friend. We appreciate you being with us.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks.
Trigvy Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. Back with more after this on the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media.